Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello out there in Tampa, Florida and across the nation. What's up? This is Sports Talk with KD. I am your host, Kelvin Drummond. We had the Powerball finish last night, or at least I think it's finished. I don't really know all the in and out of the Powerball or of lotteries in general. I just know there's a very, 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 very slim chance that you'll win. But if you do, you'll make a lot of money, but never the exact amount that they tell you because of taxes and lump sums and annuities and all of this other crap. But at any rate, everyone plays. A lot of people play. A lot of people overpaid and overspent, whatever you want to say. I've heard of outrageous numbers. I've heard of people having, of course, small numbers like 10 tickets, 20 tickets. I've heard of 200 tickets. I've heard of groups getting together, office pools, and, you know, they're getting thousands of tickets. I've heard of a group right here in Tampa got a pool together for 35,000 Powerball tickets. 35,000. So that's like 70 grand, right? I'm a communications major, but I'm pretty good at math. And that's about $70,000. That's enough of a lottery for me right there. See, my scheme would have been out of budget. Put that together, we get 35,000 tickets. You guys give me the money because you can't pay these things with credit. Like, you got to pay these things up front. There's no later. It's now. So 70 grand. I'm moving to another state. Me and my baby gone. See ya. You ask me what happened, yo. I don't know. I don't know what happened. We didn't win. You know, hey, a lot of people played. A lot of people played. There were over 100 million tickets sold, I think, in the last hour that they were selling tickets. Ridiculous. So, with all that being said, I did buy a ticket. I bought one yesterday. I just had to give it a shot. It was, you know, why not? You know, it's a random thing, so, you know, I wasn't going to be ridiculous and get into a pool or, you know, or spend a ridiculous amount for tickets. I need to save my money. I know about the rest of America. But I did give it a shot. Didn't win, of course. Even if I did, probably wouldn't tell you, would I? The winners, I believe, were from California, Tennessee, and Florida. So I guess no one in the cold won. Anyway, interesting thing to just talk about, the Powerball. Kind of hard to overlook, kind of hard not to talk about, but let's go ahead. Let's get into sports. Hugh Jackson was hired as the new head coach in Cleveland. And I want to start off by saying, why'd you take that job, Hugh? That's an awful job. I mean, it starts off with the fact that it's in Cleveland. That's a lose-lose right there, Cleveland. You don't even have to be a sports fan to understand that Cleveland doesn't win anything. They don't win anything. I know, being here in Florida, I meet a lot of people who tell me that they are from Cleveland. Anytime I make a joke about the state of Cleveland or whatever, I am so apologetic right there. I just said the state of Cleveland. You can dock me 2 points right there. Ohio is such the state, not Cleveland. But when I speak of the city of Cleveland and they, you know, they get upset, and it's like, well, you're here. You're not still there. You're not going to leave a great city, so don't get mad because I got a couple jokes about your city. Your city asks for it a lot, too. It's your fan base. They ask for it a lot. But despite all that, Cleveland is known for getting rid. It's just unstable. ever since the move back, since they got their franchise back there, all the moves have been unstable. It's never been much of a winning franchise in history alone anyway, since the Jim Brown era, which I think goes back to the AFL days. But the numbers, I don't even want to get into the numbers of people that they fired between coaches, GMs, assistants, coordinators, quarterback draft picks. You know, they're all drafted at number 22, and they all are horrible. The organization itself has not proven to be competent of understanding how this works as a business. They have not proven that. And I don't know why he would take that job. There was possible potential with the New York Giants that they were interested in him, and they would have loved to talk to him. But I don't believe he ever made it to New York. He took two meetings with Cleveland and decided to take that job, and I just don't know why. Now, with all that being said, when you are Hughes Hugh, if I can get a little pun there, a little play on words, if you're of Hughes skin tone, you don't just get to decline job offers in the NFL as a head coach, right? Like, there's 32 head coaching jobs, and there's a Rooney Rule. So you probably just go ahead and take that job, and you don't really lean on the possible potential job, right? They've offered me something. I'm guessing they put something on the table that intrigued him enough. I heard that the Johnny Manziel thing was talked at length, and that he would be not a problem with getting Johnny out of there. I wonder how much control Hugh Jackson is getting. He didn't have much control in his previous coaching job with when he was at Oakland as the head coaching job for 1 year. So you have to think with that organization, will he get time? Will they be patient? Are they, you know, are they looking as a franchise to all of a sudden next year just turn it around? This is a quarterback-driven league, and you still have to find a quarterback. Now, you'll have a high draft pick, but pool of quarterbacks doesn't look too great. So it's just a lot of questions about the possibilities of what could happen to Hugh at this job, especially when you think of what happens to people of Hugh's color in that position in general. They aren't given much time or leeway. And then you think of Cleveland in general not giving much time, and you worry for Hugh. But at any rate, Hugh Jackson, I do believe, is a great coach. I don't think he got a fair opportunity in Oakland. I thought the team was okay. He brought Carson Palmer back, and you see what Carson Palmer is 5 years later now. So obviously not a bad choice there. Known as a quarterback whisperer, I'm iffy on that, but I've seen what he can do with quarterbacks, different quarterbacks. He's worked with a plethora, so I like that. So we'll see what Hugh Jackson does. There is potential in Cleveland, as there is potential on every team. So I'm not really going to get into that with looking at the roster. But an interesting listen, I thought, was listening to Hugh Jackson actually speak today, this morning, on Mike and Mike. I highly recommend that you go ahead and listen it out, especially when they asked him about the Rooney Rule and about how hard it is for black coaches to move up the ladder in the staffing positions in the NFL. Great listen there in terms of speaking towards how blacks aren't really offered many offensive coordinator positions. They're mostly defensive. And the position coach jobs that you usually get are more defensive-minded, linebacker coaches, secondary, defensive line. Rarely are you getting the offensive line or the quarterback. Maybe you'll get the receivers. Maybe you'll get the running back. But the biggest thing is always, of course, you want to be that quarterback coach, and then you parlay that into an offensive coordinator, and hopefully, as you've seen that the league is moving towards hiring more offensive coordinators, you'd like to see more diversity in those positions. So it's a big thing when you're never getting play calling power. There have been a few black offensive coordinators, a couple of which were fired recently, so there's even less of a number now. But they didn't have much play calling power, and that's a big thing when that can hurt your record and reputation, and you may have not had the biggest contribution to that. So at any rate, I definitely highly recommend that you listen to Hugh on Mike and Mike this morning. A great listen. But Hugh Jackson hired as the new head coach in Cleveland. Why'd you take that job? But I understand hard for Hugh to decline that job offer. So will he get time to turn that franchise around? We got a big, big, big game tonight in the NBA. Basketball, National Basketball Association. We got the San Antonio Spurs playing against the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Ah, Cleveland, you made it in two segments. Two of the top three teams in the league going head-to-head. This is not a playoff game, of course, but it does have an importance in terms of who's better now. So I don't want to speak about throwing this out because it doesn't matter. It's a regular season game. These two teams will meet twice this year. So this is truly a matchup where you get to analyze the other team, see how you match up against them. There are some very interesting matchups that I'll be interested in. The top, of course, being LeBron versus Kawhi Leonard. It's going to be interesting to see how the combination of Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, and Mozgov work against LaMarcus Aldridge, Tim Duncan, and David West. That should be interesting in terms of seeing how they battle down low, rebounding, defense, effort. Those things will be key down there, so I'll definitely be looking out for that. This definitely won't be a small ball game, I'll tell you that. And then Kyrie Irving versus Popovich point guards. There's no disrespect to Tony Parker. He's a wonderful player, a great player, all-star player. But Popovich just is very good with point guards in general, so usually in terms of whoever he's bringing out on the court, they're going to be effective if Tony Parker goes out there and is not effective. We know he'll be pulled out quickly, and Patty Mills will be put in, and Patty Mills has shown that he's a great player as well. So that's why I say Popovich point guards. David Blatt still does not matter, and that's pretty much going to be the analysis of Spurs versus Cleveland tonight. Make sure you tune in. It'll be in TNT. It should be a great, great matchup. I believe it's got the 8 o'clock spot, so you don't have to stay up late to watch it. It should be over by 9:30 or 10. So great, great matchup. Spurs, Cleveland, LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, Tim Duncan, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, Tony Parker, Greg Popovich, the guy in the suit on the other team on the sideline that does not matter. Tonight, 8 p.m., should be fun. Just a couple days ago now, we had the national championship game between the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Clemson Tigers. Highly satisfied with the game. Highly, highly satisfied. Very entertaining. Very entertaining. Much better than any of the NFL games offered over the weekend. I did not expect that game. Did not expect that game. I went into that game thinking one or two things were going to happen. Either Clemson was going to win this one close or Alabama winning a blowout. Never would I have thought that Alabama would win in a shootout of 45-40. Never crossed my mind. The big thing coming out of that game, of course, we knew this would come. Nick Saban, is he the greatest coach? How great of a coach is he? How far, you know, where is he going down in history? You know, four championships in 7 years. Very impressive, 5-9. A lot of comparisons to Bear Bryant. Here's my thing. Let's not go overboard. Nick Saban is a great coach. A lot of people say he's a great recruiter. I think he is a great recruiter, but I think he's a bit more than a great recruiter. I think the SEC proves that. I think when you look at teams like Georgia, like a LSU, these are teams who continuously are getting just as much talent. They're getting the same five-star recruits. Big talents are going to their school. I believe LSU has the most players drafted in the past decade. But no rings, no championships. That's what Saban is doing. That's what Urban did. That's even what Cam Newton did because he didn't have a coach that year. But Nick Saban is very, very, very impressive, very impressive. I think it's interesting, though, how far we're going. That's why I say not go overboard, because we're all trying to say, you know, greatest college coach ever, greatest coach ever. You know, put him down there with the greats. And was it me or was it just last year that everyone was saying Urban Meyer was the best coach ever? I know it's 2016, I know in another new year, but I don't think I forgot that much, and I'm pretty sure you guys were all over Urban Meyer last year. Pretty sure you were talking about, oh, how amazing it was that he wins the title with his third-string quarterback, and he's won in the SEC, now he's won in the Big Ten, and he's, you know, and just predicting so much to happen. And now it's like, yeah, Nick Saban's the greatest ever. Who's Urban? Well, Urban's the guy that Nick can't beat. So let's remember that as well. Clemson played well. Obviously, get that out of the way because you always have to give props to the losers. But they actually did play well. The common flaw in college football, of course, was no different when it came to Clemson. They had no defense. It was just, my goodness, no defense. So despite all these high draft picks that you talk about, Alabama was supposed to have this, you know, the greatest front seven ever. That didn't seem to be on display Monday night. And I guess there are no secondary coaches in college football because everyone can pass. I mean, Jake Coker, did he throw for over 500 yards? Or close to it? Jake Coker. Yeah, so Deshaun Watson, of course, was the standout player of that game. Very impressive, unbelievably poised. I was very impressed with his poise throughout that game. One interception, he had that one flaw. But he played a great game. A lot of people said it was Vince Young-esque. I think it was, except for that thing that, you know, he didn't win. But other than that, a very impressive game. Didn't have as many rushing yards as Vince, more passing yards. It's amazing, though, right? Like, you see Deshaun Watson do that and it makes you think of Vince Young. It makes you think of Michael Vick. Doesn't make you think of white quarterbacks, right? But here's the thing, right? What have been the top performances by quarterbacks over the past decade in college football? Because I think majority of them have been the black quarterbacks. I think, right? You go Cardale Jones, you go Cam Newton, of course you go Vince Young, you go Michael Vick. So, hey, who else are you going to compare him to when he does have an impressive game? Because it seems the ones that deliver in those big moments happen to be of the similar culture. But I think Deshaun Watson showed a lot. I think he proved a lot. I'm going to say he's the next top quarterback. He's going to be the next top quarterback in the NFL, which means that he'll be he's a sophomore, so he'll be eligible for the draft after next season. So I think, you know, next season he'll be the next top, you know, he'll be top quarterback that NFL scouts will find ways to denigrate as we get closer to draft day. I guarantee that. I'm not going to go much into Alabama, but I did find something interesting. Calvin Ridley, the true freshman wide receiver for Alabama. A lot of people, you know, think he's going to have a promising future. I have so many questions. I have so many questions. You may not know my questions. You may not know my questions. You're going to find out my questions right now. Here's the thing. Does he have to wait to be draft eligible? Now, a lot of you are asking right now, Kelvin, why wouldn't he have to wait to be draft eligible? He's a true freshman. He's got to wait like everyone else, 3 years removed. He's 21, true freshman, 21 years old. holding up the drink. As soon as you hit campus. Man, that's got to be life. So, does he have to wait to be draft eligible? Right, because the rule is you have to be 3 years removed from your graduating class. But which graduating class do they count him with? Supposed to be in that next one, or that next one? How did he stay in high school till 20 or 21? I don't think they allowed that. I thought after about 19, I thought you had to leave. Like, dip, homie. Kids in there. He couldn't play his senior year because of his age. But he was rated the number one receiver in his class. Number one ranked overall wide receiver. Which class? Was it the one he was supposed to be in, or the next one, or the next one, or the next one? This guy looks like the youngest person on Alabama because they're all, you know, grown men, and you look at these guys and it's hard to believe that they're 18, 19 years old. Not saying that they're not, but you got to be wondering what are they being fed. You guys should look up Bo Scarborough, Alabama's next running back. Ridiculous. He could easily play defensive end. I believe he's 6'3", 240. Anyway, but like I was saying with Calvarelli, he looks the youngest, but he's oldest. It's just hilarious to me. Just go through Alabama. Look, go on Google right now. Type in Alabama football roster. Click on images and just look at some of the players. Look at some of the players. And tell me that you can believe that some of them are 18, 19 years old. I mean, it's unbelievable. They're huge. Great game. Very entertaining. Highly satisfied. Clemson won. I mean, Clemson. Ooh, no, I didn't. Don't let me get your hopes up. Clemson lost 40 Alabama international title game Monday night, 45-40. Still can't believe Alabama won in a blowout. I mean, sorry, in a shootout. But at any rate, we'll move on because I am stuttering over my words now. Now let's go to the less entertaining football games that we got this weekend. The NFL playoffs. Started out with Texans versus the Chiefs. And, oh, my gosh, Brian Hoyer was awful. So awful. I picked the Chiefs to win this game, so I wasn't surprised most of the time with these football games. I'm just going quarterback. Who's got the better quarterback? But, listen, here's the thing. Hey, Bill O'Brien, you know, the head coach of the Texans, and he gets all this credit for, you know, being able to work well with quarterbacks. Look at here. There's no such thing as a quarterback guru if you've helped an already established quarterback or obvious talent, i.e. Brian, Bill O'Brien, working with Tom Brady. How much help do you think Tom Brady needed? Did he look like he fell off when you left? Tom Brady, why is the coordinator getting credit? I.e., Adam Gase getting his new job in Miami because he worked with Peyton Manning in Denver. They're not even trying to say he was the guy, you know, when Peyton first got to the league and was rusty and he helped Peyton become what he was going to become. In Denver, hey, I think Peyton had already figured out football by then. So what, are you getting credit for that record-setting season? Get out of here. Buccaneers fired Lovie Smith because supposedly Dirk Cutter gets along well with Jameis Winston. Well, who hired Dirk Cutter to work with Jameis Winston? And just because you work well with Jameis means you can run a team? And here's another thing. Everyone's sitting back and saying, well, he must be doing a great job because look how good Jameis Winston is playing. We kind of knew Jameis was going to be good That's why he was taken number one overall. Also, why he kind of won a championship and only lost one game in college?
At any rate,
what defense in Houston? Let's move on with, to the defensive side of the ball, because I understand J.J. Watt is a great player, but you know, miss me with everyone else on that defense. Come on, stop. Look, stats and rankings are irrelevant when it's a bad football season. And trust me, folks, this was a bad football season. Just be honest. There were not many great teams, not many great games. And you're not going to get many great playoff games. When the Chiefs play the Patriots next, and you don't know how healthy the Patriots are, and you know how the Chiefs play. So how outside of the fact that it's the NFL playoffs, how much are you really looking forward to the game? Last note on that game, Brian Hoyer was just god-awful. Just awful. Bengals played the Steelers. Now, this game got much national acclaim, so I am not going to spend a lot of time on it because you have heard it all. Antonio Brown was concussed by Vontaze Burfict. Burfict is made out to be the criminal of the NFL. There was an amazing catch by Martavis Bryant, who, after Big Ben calls him out during the week, so Martavis Bryant bails Ben out on that catch, on that amazing catch. I always tell you that a great catch in the NFL typically means it was a bad throw. Pac-Man Jones and Joey, or according to Pac-Man, Jerry Porter, were on the field. Mike Munchak got penalized for grabbing a player's dreads on the sidelines, which is just outrageous, which is something that has not been talked about much. They much rather talk about Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones, not so much Mike Munchak. Very interesting, isn't it? Marvin Lewis and Mike Tomlin are being criticized a lot for not being able to control their players. You know, those grown men. I think it's always a underlying. There's a little in your critique. I'll just leave it at when you say that about Marvin Lewis and Mike Tomlin in terms of not being able to control their players, not being able to control their coaches. Like, you're just looking for ways to kind of, you know, call them out on things. I don't remember anyone saying anything about Pete Carroll and the way he disciplined his players when the Seahawks damn near wanted to fight the Patriots at the end of the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm kind of off on that one. Big Ben is probable for the next game. Antonio Brown is doubtful. Adam Pac-Man Jones said Antonio Brown faked the concussion on the Vontaze Burfict hit, said he winked, says he'll apologize about saying that he faked if Antonio Brown does not play Saturday, but he thinks he will play. And I think that gets a little iffy, right, because we've seen numerous times that these NFL players, they get concussed and they play the next week because they pass the concussion protocol, which is, you know, a bunch of hoopla anyway. Just like the fact that they don't allow, you know, HGH in the NFL for healing, or marijuana for pain meditating, but somehow Big Ben came back in that game after being taken down by Vontaze Burfict, and I'm pretty sure he was all hopped up on horse shots. I'm pretty sure that there were so many needles that they put in him before he went back out there because he couldn't even throw the ball. I mean, come on, shoulder was shot. Any rate, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Sports Talk with KD. I am, of course, your host, Kelvin Drummond. We'll be right back, continuing with those other two playoff games that we saw in the NFL this weekend.